go. Alright. Episode 1 of Human Noise.
Yes. Finally. Almost didn't happen. But we're back on. Laptop issues sorted.
Almost happened, and then didn't happen. And then also almost happened, and then didn't happen. And so on and so forth.
Alright.
Yeah. Like the girl who almost got away. But the jury's probably still out.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, since this is our first episode, we feel obligatory to like get a breakdown of what the fuck this is.
Yes.
And what the fuck this is an endeavor to like go through the noise to hopefully find something that resonates.
Yes. Go through the noise and go through our noise.
Yeah,
basically just because, should we introduce ourselves?
Yes.
Stefan.
Yeah.
I said my name already. I said Stefan.
Oh, okay.
Sadi.
Okay. Alright. We listen to a lot of podcasts, largely because this is the time when the industry is like the entertainment industry is changing and media is changing, and one of the things that is changing about it is that more and more user content is becoming important and is becoming the significant predominant form of content online, available to like people, and content made by major studios is becoming downplayed. And that's really cool. I mean, we think that's really cool because that means that there's a whole, like, all of that shit that you get, all that mediocrity that you get in, like, the mass media, where they need to cater to different markets, or they need to hit a certain amount of audience numbers, and they need to, like, meet certain marketing targets in order to justify their budgets or whatever the fuck that shit's about. Like, you don't have to worry about that shit. And we basically get to say whatever we want and like however we say it. And if you like it, then you can listen. And if you don't like it, then you can not. Or you can tell us why you don't like it.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, that's half the thing. You know, this podcast is like the first. We're hopefully planning to upload this on YouTube. Maybe get the blog running.
No, we're uploading it to YouTube, alright?
Yeah.
If you're watching this, it was uploaded to YouTube. Otherwise, it doesn't matter, alright? Just be positive. If it all fucking falls to shit, no one's gonna see it anyway, so fuck it.
Yeah. And,
you should subscribe. Yeah. You don't even know what we're going to do, but I've just told already.
No, it's good, it's good. Come on, you like it already.
Yeah. And, we're looking at, like, one of the biggest things is, since there is so much of options, it's all about trying to be able to create your sort of what you want to watch. And what you want to watch affects you as much as what you want to eat. And, like, shit, if you want to, you know, be agile and, like, do other shit, you gotta like try and at least listen to something that's
meaningful.
To you. And that might be like some weird fetish, or that might be some, you know, some the news. Like, yeah. You know, it's
but
all
hopefully
important.
It's a weird it's fetish and then you watch the podcast.
Yeah, and then maybe go watch some news, you know, just to put it all into perspective.
Yeah. But it's also what he's saying is it's true, man. Like it's like you've got to be more conscious about the kind of stuff that you put into your system, right? It's like, you got to be, like, now we're living this time of information overload, so much shit coming at us from everywhere, and we've got to be more conscious about, like, what we put inside us. So for us, this is what we want to hear, and also, you know what, we don't feel like there's enough, you know, voices from where we're from,
yeah.
You know what I mean,
yeah.
That's doing this kind of shit, so we want to do it. And we encourage you guys as well. Like, if you're watching it, like, you should do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we'd love to hear what you have to say. We'd love to hear what you have to say about us. If you want to write to us, message us, comment on the video, or post your own videos, and then we'll watch you, and then we'll, like, talk about how cool you are or whatever.
Yeah. And then, you know, because the thing is, a lot of people are going through, well, we're all facing this shit called life. And, you know, We try and identify how it is we're supposed to deal through life through a lot of metaphor and through a lot of abstract things. Like, for example, we'll try and understand it through movies and through, like, art, through, like, music. But we won't sit the fuck down and talk about it.
Yeah.
And by not being able to do that, then you disable yourself from actually, like, seeing what it is you're facing.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people just walk around and they get the shit beat out of them, you know, by fucking life. And, like, shit, like, the dude who, you know, learned to, like, bob and weave, man, you know, you gotta, like, you know, find out how to bob and weave. And the
only
way
you
can...
bobbing and weaving is?
God damn right, man.
You think, I mean, like, in real, like, do they know what it is?
Yeah, like, you know, well, a boxing technique of, like...
You can't whisper. It's not going to work.
Okay, I was just saying that I don't.
No, you've got...
Okay. You could have...
You got to say that. Like.
Basically, in boxing, where you try and avoid punches.
Yeah. Bobbing is, like, is bobbing your head like that. And weaving is, like, weaving.
Side to side.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, basically, the whole idea is, like, you go out and find out how to do it. And, you know, this endeavor is, like, to try and say how we maybe, like, we see how maybe what we know we can do it. Like, what we know we can do. Jesus, that was terrible English.
We do what we know we can do? Okay.
And like,
as opposed to doing what we don't know we can do.
We do that also, man. We do
sometimes, accidentally.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. Now, I reckon it's like, you know, anyway, art is something that, I think, like, art is either based on two things, alright? It's either based on life and, like, real fucking experiences and things that you've learned for yourself and you're putting it in a way that somebody else can, like, experience it and get some kind of message out of it, out of your real experience.
Yeah.
Or it's you copying someone else's shit. Like, looking at some other form of art and just copying that shit, right? That's really, if you're going to break it down to the simplest way, it's either you're taking it from your life or you're taking it from some shit. And I reckon that mass art is shit upon shit. Like, people copying some shit, and other people copying their shit, and other people copying their shit. And, like, the kind of image of life that they portray is often nothing like anything that we can recognize. So we're just trying to put some shit out there that's, like, we can identify with. And if you can identify with it too, then that's cool, man. Then you can watch it. And if you want to put your shit out, then that's cool, man. And then we'll watch it. And we can get dialogue going, and that would be awesome. And if you don't like the shit, then you can go and watch some other shit. And that's also cool, man.
That's also cool.
Yeah. Because it's all cool.
It's all cool, man.
It's all cool, man. It's all cool.
Yeah, so.
Alright, disclaimers?
Yeah, disclaimers. Okay, like you noticed,
the
language isn't, you know, 100% civil, but the thing is,
I thought I was being civil.
Oh, very, very much so.
I was very nice to you, nigga. What's
wrong with you? We were being very civil.
No.
Don't be offended, motherfucker.
I'm not being offended, man. I'm speaking for, like, the, I don't know, the few percent who, like, feel
offended. Yeah, alright.
You know, feel offended, especially by, you know, I don't know, the use of language, etc. The whole point, though, is that swear words are very effective. They actually have studies been done that if you say a swear word rather than a word not recognized as a word you do not recognize.
You gotta give an example, bro. You gotta give.
There was a study done where they.
No. You gotta give an example of a word. Is what I'm saying.
Swear words translate like the simplest thing in the.
Oh yeah. No, you can. They've tested. You can drop your hand in ice, and if you say fuck instead of like something, you can keep your hand in ice a lot longer.
That's gangster. Oh shit.
Because it fucks with your brain. You take on a dramatically exaggerated negative mind state to like combat like, you know, your pain neurons from like.
That's intense.
That's a bitch.
Yeah, that's
science fiction shit. We'll try and post a link, you can check the study out and stuff.
Yeah. We're not swearing for the sake of swearing, but it's just that, like, sometimes in life, we use those words that people refer to as swear words, and sometimes in conversation, we might use them, and we're not trying to, but we're definitely not trying not to, I think is the essence of it.
Exactly.
Also, we will probably talk about many touchy things that people have controversial opinion about, like, like values and morality and religion and other things. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, I don't know. Probably will. My point being that when we do, just know that we don't hate anyone. We don't mean to offend anyone. We're not trying to push a message of like any kind of like discrimination or hate. But we just believe that we don't believe too much in political correctness that prevents you from understanding, being able to discuss like reality, right? That political correctness that prevents you from being able to talk about shit that is really important to talk about.
Yeah.
So we're not going to let that stop us, but we love you, you know, not in like an intimate kind of like, you know, like we will watch you and take care of you and shit. But
make your breakfast and then just like leave.
Wow, make your breakfast and leave?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's pretty sweet. Like, it's kinda nice.
That's the dream, man.
That's the dream. Shit. Dude, that's the dream. But we will definitely love you in the sense that we are all fucking equally burdened with living. And it's equally like not equally, I guess some people's lives are harder than others, but we're all trying to figure this shit out, and I know that you're trying to figure it out and we're trying to figure it out, and we love you because you're like us trying to figure it out.
That is a good summary.
Anything else?
No.
Are we done with disclaimers?
I think so. Do you have any disclaimers, Akio?
No. I'm fat. I'm sorry if I block your screen. No, you don't take like a huge space.
Oh, shit.
Or if you just look directly at me.
Alright.
That was one for the ages, man. That was yeah, that was good. That was good. I liked it. Alright, we thought that we would broadly cover topics for each week. Yeah. Today's topic is absolutes.
Right on. Alright. And absolutes. Absolutes being what?
Okay. So, it's a bit hard to explain what we mean when we say absolutes, and I guess absolutes could mean a lot of different things. But specifically what we're talking about, and we'll start with a couple of stories, is basically what we're talking about is the idea of whether, okay, there are certain barriers that exist in our reality that are, if not impossible to like cross or impossible to ignore, are very difficult to ignore. For example, if I stop breathing, this physical manifestation of myself will probably die, right? It's highly unlikely that that will not happen. What happens after that, I don't know. What happens like in the process of that, I don't know. Or if it's true that when you choke yourself and you come at the same time, it's really nice, I don't know. Maybe that or any one of those permutations is true, I don't know. The point being that that is a physical barrier that it's hard to break. However, many physical barriers, such as our ideas on what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, and a great many other things that we even fail to realize, are things that are merely suggestions, but we interpret them to be like immutable, unchangeable, fixed positions that we have to live by. And today we're going to try to approach the subject of what is fixed and what is mutable, what is movable, what is changeable.
Alright. So what is unchangeable?
What is unchangeable? What is changeable? Akio.
Well, I think a lot of times when you talk about things being immutable, either you're referring, like people assume you're referring to the physical, or people assume you're referring to something in the realms of like morality, or the realms of like law, where there are like written distinctions on what is, you know, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable.
Yeah.
So there, and I think it's all a part of an endeavor to sort of like break down what exactly is good about this, and this being, you know, the whole process.
Yeah.
And in the endeavor to sort of do that, you know, you sort of like, yeah, if people are nicer to each other, you know, it's a lot nicer. You know, the whole golden rule.
Yeah.
That basically is what really, it summarizes all that is. But the thing is then, there are different exceptions and circumstances and people need to like further divide it.
Mm.
There are certain things that you can't really say that is, you have to like look into the details. People have different ideas because a lot of times what we think happened or what we have feel happened are influenced by what happens next, because what happens next influences how we look back on what has happened.
I'm going to give you an example for that, bro.
Okay.
You lost me.
Yeah, I got lost between what has happened,
yeah,
what is happening, and what happens next. Like, there's something, I'm not sure which part, like, you're on there.
Okay, basically, if, an easy example, for example, if you pray and something good happens,
mm,
you believe that something good happened because you prayed.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah? So there is an assumption in our mind that because we go through time and to us time is linear, that we confuse correlation with causation.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that something if something precedes something else, it was the cause of that.
Yeah.
And it's most of the time not necessarily so. Yeah.
Do you know the story about pigeon superstition, what people refer to as pigeon superstition?
No.
So there's this experiment that was conducted using pigeons, where basically the way the experiment worked was like this, right? They put pigeons in a cage, and one end of the cage was like a gate, and when the gate lifted up, the pigeons had access to see. So what the pigeons would do is they would go, and there was a button in the cage, right? And it took the pigeons a long time to figure out that when you press the button, the gate opens, and they can eat the seed. Right, so they go around the cage and they press the button, gate would open, and they'd eat the seed. Press the button, gate would open, eat the seed, and they would do that, right? Put the pigeon in another cage, and what they did was there was no button. But they would randomly press a button and open the cage at some points, right? And then the pigeon would eat. And what they found was that whatever thing that the pigeon was doing when they randomly pressed the button, the pigeon would do it again and try to get the gate to open. So the pigeon was flapping its wings, it would just flap really hard and hope for the gate to open, right? Or if the pigeon was like walking, like stepping on its left foot, it would just step on its left foot over and over again, hoping the cage would open. If it was pecking something, it would try to peck that spot again. Just whatever it was doing at the time when the gate opened, it just started doing that thing over and over again, hoping that it would continue
that,
to open.
That principle is called operant conditioning.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this was developed, this was by this guy called Skinner. Where
not operant?
No. Operant conditioning.
Okay, I thought it would have been named after him. Go on.
Okay, and where classical conditioning was by Sigmund Freud.
So classical conditioning was by Nikola Pavlov, I thought.
Sorry.
We're good.
So operant conditioning, where they used rats for the experiment, and where they put a rat in a cage and they still have a lever. And where the rat would run around, and then when the rat steps on the lever, there'd be food that would come out from little opening.
Hmm.
So, what the difference between like classical and operant conditioning? Classical is where you involuntarily condition the subject, but here you voluntarily, like, you know, the rat would voluntarily step on the lever,
yeah,
to get the food.
Hmm.
But in classical, the story of where the dog salivates, a stimuli is
positive reinforcement, not
positive,
negative. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, some deep psychological shit. So anyway, so that whole principle is operant conditioning and width. So that's how the world wants us to voluntarily condition ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really interesting lesson in how humanity is controlled through positive and negative stimuli, right? Like the extent to which we are controlled in our jobs and in the different aspects of our lives, positive and negative stimuli.
But what I think is, like the whole principle of classical conditioning is applied more than optimal conditioning.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, I think in the modern sort of management sort of framework, I think that now people try to do a lot of motivation-based principles and stuff like that. They try to motivate their staff by giving them responsibilities. That is one of the biggest sort of there's one of the biggest sort of strategies in staff motivation is giving responsibilities.
Realize that if you want them to work harder, okay, you've been conditioned to motivate them.
Oh yeah, there's a cycle of conditioning. There's a web of interconnected conditioning.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You are reviewed, like you review them, you're reviewed by someone else. It's
yeah.
all like a web. Yeah, that's true.
Web
there's an interrelated web of conditioning. That's,
yes,
that's true.
That's the whole foundation of human
society.
Yeah, that,
exactly.
You know, we constantly review each other so that we maintain like a society. Because
as in that's what maintains the connections between us,
yeah.
is based on like, it's on a very basic level. It's like part of it is like this cat and stick kind of model, right? Where like, human, like some humans try to amass as many carrots as possible and then they can exert more influence because they have more carrots and also more sticks, right? Like they're either in a position of power, they're in a position of influence, they're in a position of great potent violence, like, and they can inflict different forms of like positive and negative stimuli to influence others. What makes the story of the pigeon special in this case is that the pigeon has no actual influence over the gate opening, but he believes that he does because of the coincidence of the gate opening. So how much of our lives and how much of what happens to us is well outside of our realm of control, but we believe that we can control it through, like, positive ideation, or through, like, praying, or through, like, wish listing, or through, like, money.
Yeah, and the thing is also, like, well, when you mentioned, like, you know, when some people have more carrots and more sticks, then, and they can pick, you know, to motivate people more, at the same time, they're as much as not in control as everyone else.
Yeah.
Because the whole part of, like, them being with the carrots and the sticks, the only thing they know what to do is that.
Is the carrot and stick game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, once you start playing the carrot and stick game, you don't realize it, but the game starts playing you. Which is to say that once you enter into that, like, system of, like, work and rewards and fail to work and failure, you try to climb to the top of it, and you end up like spending your whole life doing that, and you never realize that you could have done a million other things, but you were so heavily invested in playing that game that you lost yourself in the game and you continue to play it, right?
But I think that is true with any game you play. I mean, it could be even a game you play, like, you know, you could be playing a computer game, like, you know, like,
and you get lost in, yeah, for
exactly.
sure, for
you
sure.
Know, like 6 days later, you know, you walk, like, you know, leave your room and
yeah.
the sun hurts and like your
yeah.
eyes, like, you know, yeah.
And you have
hard,
the carpal tunnel going on, that's like a bit, yeah, but I think
pleasant.
That, I think that the main thing is to realize that you are playing a game, and it's easier to realize you're playing a game when you're playing a PC game. When you're playing a video game, it's easier to realize you're playing a game. When you're playing the life game, or when you're playing the career game, or when you're playing the marriage game, or all the myriad of different games that we play that make up human existence, it's harder to realize that you are playing a game. Even if you realize you're playing a game, the game is usually, the game playing itself is usually inevitable, because you have to do something to occupy your time, and games seem to be the way in which humans interact with their reality. However, you can choose to only play the games that you enjoy, and you can choose to ignore the games that you don't enjoy. So, for example, if you're doing a job and you fucking hate it, but you feel like you have some duty to do it, or you feel like this is what the meaning of your life is supposed to be, or you're in a position where you become very successful and you feel like this is important, like you have to be successful in this way, but you hate it, fuck it, don't do it. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, you can do it, you don't have to do it. You can do something else. Or you're in, like, a marriage, you're in, like, a relationship,
and you just like can't like stand being in it, like it just feels terrible. But someone's told you that if you get divorced, you'll go to hell or some other kind of ridiculous shit that you can't do. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything that, there are no, in my opinion at least, there are no objective laws in the universe that are forcing you to do one thing instead of something else, right? Everything you do is your decision. And I think the craziest thing is that even the belief that if you don't do it, you're a fuck up, is a decision that you are making to convince yourself that you, if you don't do it, you're like a fuck up. Like even the idea that like you have a sense of duty to do it is itself an idea that only you are sustaining, that only you are putting yourself within that trap.
But
I think
No, but it's as a result of the forces from society that you convince yourself for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And the thing is, no, some of those forces are real. And I think like the whole idea of like, you know, like maybe getting another job or maybe like, you know, moving to like another relationship or like changing where you are. Like there's a really good kind of linguist to it. Moving the body from one place to another does not heal the wound of the heart.
Woo!
Yeah.
Shit.
Epic. And
yeah. If you wrote that,
yeah.
I'd high five you.
I know. I didn't.
Yeah. Yo, cunning linguists, I'm just saying, if no one has heard cunning linguists, oh my god. Dude, so good. Yeah, you haven't heard cunning linguists, have you? Oh my god, dude, so good. So good. You need to listen to cunning linguists.
Right.
Alright, now that's cunning linguists, two words, written as one word, not the other word. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of times when people try and make those decisions, they don't really look at like, yeah, will that really change? You know, will that really change in the sense that, will that really change the like the inevitable pit of depression that everyone fucking gets?
Yeah.
And it's against that, like, you know, we all try and make these small moves of like, you know, like against, but we can't really go against because you don't want to face the whole thing at once.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you try and move from one place to another without really addressing that, it doesn't really help, in a sense.
Yeah, and I think it's also like, sometimes you think that like you hate your fucking job, but you're like, man, if I get I just work a little bit more, I get a promotion and then it'll be better. I work a little bit more, I get a promotion and it gets better. And you do that shit, and you get the promotion, and it doesn't get better. you think you'll get better, but I think that one thing that you realize, and this is something that's true for me, I don't know if it's true for everyone, but I don't know if it's true for me, is that no matter how successful you are at something you don't enjoy, you will never find happiness doing something you don't enjoy, even if you're fucking good at it. Like, it's ridiculous to say, but it's like, we're born and we die, and in between we have, like, time, and the way that we spend, like, if we spend our hours doing something that satisfies us, then I think that is a much better strategy for achieving like a deeper like contentment and happiness than spending time doing something that you hate in order to get resources to spend time doing something that you like for a very short period, like for far less hours than the amount of time you spend doing something that you hate. So if you're like, I don't know, man. I would say accountant. I feel it's kind of like offensive. you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, but the thing is, at the same time, you're naturally attuned. Like, you are. It's in your DNA to appreciate something if you do it well. Like the whole psychology, like that has led up to you right now, is that if you can do it well and you can do it better, there is a certain amount of your brain that gets stimuli that makes you feel like you've done something worthwhile. It was actually like an experiment conducted on rats. And what they did was they stimulated different parts of their brain. And they stimulated different... And what the rats had to do was press a button and then stimulate certain parts of their brain. And the feeling that rats got addicted onto the most was a feeling of, like, seeking. And, like, the thing is, like, seeking can be broken down into many ways. You can seek what it is you want to do, but at the same time, you can seek within what it is you're doing how to maybe move on and do it better.
But I think you can also seek like shit. Like you can also seek like stuff. Like you can also seek like material stuff. and then find that actually the stuff itself does not make you happy, but it's like attaining the stuff was might have actually been the only like the best part of the stuff. Like actually working to get that fucking like ridiculous like the expensive car is much more fun than actually owning the car.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like the actual process of working and then attaining is more like enjoyable than actually pleasuring yourself with the thing that you have attained.
Let's leave the car aside.
Okay.
But then if you are doing something that you like doing,
mm-hmm.
like an example, let's say like one guy, he's doing something that he doesn't like doing,
mm-hmm.
and he hopes it gets better, you know, at promotion, at every promotion,
mm-hmm.
and he hopes for it, and
mm-hmm.
he seeks for the promotion, and he gets it, but he doesn't get better, and he's not doing what he likes doing.
Anymore.
No, but he's still doing it.
You said that he was doing what he likes doing.
No, that's another example. I'm coming there.
Wait, but there are two different stories?
Yeah, I'm coming back to the initial one.
Sorry, okay, go back.
And you take the guy who is doing what he likes doing.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And he's doing it. However, he doesn't get promotions.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that blow him out? Wouldn't that be motivated to that?
No, the thing is, what you like about something now isn't what you like about the same thing a year later. Your like about it may be in the same, like for example, if you were doing something you enjoyed, like a video game, if you were as good as you were in the beginning as you are at the end, you won't like it so much.
But then what you're saying, what he's saying, it raises like two different issues, because it's like what you're saying is that intrinsically the way in which you are doing it is varying,
yes.
and through your intrinsic variations, like you're finding satisfaction. But what he's saying is that even if you're intrinsically, like, through variation, you're finding satisfaction, but you are not being recognized for your evolution in your intrinsic ability to... your evolution in your ability to do that thing, whether that will be motivation. But I think the answer to that question is really, like, how much do you need external stimuli or internal stimuli, right? And I think that... I don't think anybody can say that they don't care at all what other people think about them, but I think some people care about it a lot more than others. Like, I think that, and some people start caring about it and over time, like, lose it, like, shed that, like, thing. So, I don't know. I'm not sure about which, but I think that there's got to be some kind of balance that you have to find between intrinsic and extrinsic things. Particularly if you're going to live certain kinds of lifestyles where I have always found that the more that you try to just be the thing that internally the signals and the signs are telling you to be, the more that you try to follow the voice that's coming from inside, instead of this degree of social conditioning that's coming from outside, the more you will alienate people.
Yes.
All right. That's real. Like, everyone's like, I saw this great meme that was like, it said society was like it said society, like it was a script, and it said society, be yourself. Okay, no, not like that. Because I think that's so fucking real, right? Like, society, the two messages that it's giving us all the time is be yourself. Be yourself is the fucking meme of our generation, right? Everybody's
yeah.
supposed to be themselves all the fucking time. But when you're yourself, people are like, oh, so fucking lame. Right? Like, you're so, like, being told to be yourself, and you're being so fucking lame at the same time. And I think that if you're really talking about being yourself, and that has so many different fucking meanings, right? I think that a lot of people believe that to be yourself is to be Steve Jobs. Like, that's some shit like that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the true meaning of be yourself is be Steve Jobs.
But actually, you'd want to be like, I don't know, Bob Marley or whatever.
No, I'm saying you should want to be like anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right, okay.
No, but the thing is, the only way we can actually perceive of what it is we maybe want to be like is by what it is we can be like. And what it is we can be like mostly is what we get from our immediate people around us, and at the same time, like, the more famous people in our society.
I think that we see role models and we see people around us, right? But I think that we also do things like we touch things and we make things and then we reflect on ourselves. So we try our hand at writing, and if we like it, we say, oh shit, you know what, I kind of like writing, maybe I should write more. Or we try our hand at dancing, we're like, oh shit, we kind of like dancing, maybe I should dance more. And then we do like pottery, and we're like, oh shit, I fucking can't stand pottery, I'm not going to do pottery ever again, like, fuck pottery, right? It's like, we do things, and then we gain personal experience, and I think that when we follow, like, the dancing and the writing, or whatever the fuck your version of dancing and writing is, and if it's accounting, that's also cool. I shouldn't be so mean to accountants. I'm so sorry. But whatever the fuck that shit is that you find, and you follow that, that's okay. And it may not always bring you extrinsic things. Like, you may not always bring you, like, the exterior sides of success, like what we define success by, like, the money and the clothes and the jewelry. Jewelry is another thing, but anyway, the cars and shit, but it will bring you, like, if it brings you intrinsic happiness, and if you can measure your success in that way, that in itself is, like, pretty cool, but that's a difficult thing to do that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't finding what you like to do something that's really deep? You might do something that you like doing, but actually, naturally, maybe that's not what you're good at doing. You know what I'm saying?
You do something that you enjoy doing,
yeah.
But you're good at something else?
Yes.
You like the thing that you're good at?
Yeah, you like the thing that you're good at. You don't know if you like the thing that you're good at because you're not found out. It's like a whole nature versus nurture concept.
You gotta explain that connection,
yeah.
Because there's a big gap missing there. All right, go on.
No, like, see, let's say that, okay, you brought in. Okay, let's say there's this guy,
mm-hmm.
and he tries fishing, and he likes fishing. He says, you know what, I'll try writing. Okay, he likes writing. He tries pottery, he hates pottery. Okay?
Yeah, pottery is cool. It's just an example.
Okay. He tries accounting. He likes accounting also. Okay? But what I'm getting at is, but naturally, maybe he might be good at sailing. But he not know, but he'd like doing it because he'd be good doing it, but he would not know that he's good at sailing because he'll never try sailing.
But I think a lot of what it is that we like about what we do is has a lot to do with, it might, for example, it might not be sailing. It might be something else. But the thing is, what we like about it could be totally transferable to another sport.
Yeah.
Or another activity.
What's the famous like Musashi thing that he says?
Yeah, a master in one field is a master.
Yeah, when you find mastery in one thing, you see the path in all things.
Yeah, exactly.
So you step into an ecosystem and you open the entire ecosystem.
It's not just that, man. It's like, well, okay. One, there's two aspects to what you're saying. One thing is like, there is an incredibly large amount of things that you can do. And since we live in this, like, insanely, like, specialization-driven, like, society,
yeah.
Right? Like, back then, there were, like, two jobs. There's, like, hunting, and there's, like, fucking, like, gathering, all right? And then you might be good at hunting, you might be good at gathering, or you might be, like, maybe in hunting, there's slight specification, like, the chasing guy and the shooting guy or whatever.
And then you got the women together and you hunted.
Right, but what I'm saying is that there was a far fewer job options than now, right?
Sure.
So there's probably a shitload of things in the world. Maybe you're good at something that you've never done, but you shouldn't suffer from the, like, I refer to that problem as the TV remote problem, right? When you're watching TV and you've got the remote in your hand and you love the shit that you're watching, you're like, this shit is so cool, I'm so interested, this show is amazing, this character is just, he's me and shit, right? He's everything I've ever wanted to be. And then, like, you've got the remote in your hand, and you feel like you have to change the channel anyway. Like, you feel like it is necessary for you to change the channel, even though you already enjoy what you're doing. That is a weakness that we have developed in our society from an excess amount of choice. If you're already enjoying it, don't worry about it. You should not. If you're having fun, you should worry less. That's you're good.
But isn't the whole fact, you know, where you have choices in life, where life gives you choices? For example, let's say you take that the TV remote thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you like what you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then again, there are other channels.
Mm-hmm.
Other choices out there. And just like, you know, if you're watching pottery,
mm-hmm.
you might find like sailing in another channel.
Dude, you are just used to saying.
No,
you
just
like imported the metaphor into my metaphor.
Yeah.
You
wow.
just plugged in a metaphor into another metaphor.
It's alright, it's alright. Go on.
Okay. Go on, yeah.
So you wouldn't know that you'd like sailing until you go for sailing.
Dude, why does it matter? If you're already enjoying what you're watching, why does it matter?
So it's good to explore what other things that you're doing.
It is, I'm saying it is good to explore, but you should not explore it anxiously. You shouldn't have an anxiety like, I'm enjoying this so much, I hope there isn't something else that I like better.
See,
yeah.
there's actually like a really great like TED Talk on this thing. It's, I don't remember the name, sorry. Link will be but...
Yeah, we'll put it in the description.
Yeah, but the whole idea is choice makes us unhappy.
Mm.
And choice makes us unhappy.
I've
because
seen this as well.
You can go into
yeah.
a store
yeah.
and you can, there can be a jean or like, you know, he used jeans or I used jeans. You can buy a set of jeans and if you can only buy one jeans, you buy that jeans and you walk out and go, I got, this was the only pair of jeans. It sucks, but like, shit, what can I do? But if you walk into a store with like 100 pairs of jeans, you're going to walk out feeling like there were probably some jeans that feel nicer. You know,
yeah.
that's there. And like you said, you know, you can be watching TV and you might be watching pottery and it might be like amazing. But like, if you're going to worry about like saving on the next channel, you're not going to be enjoying your pottery.
Yeah, man. It's like there is what you're talking about is choice, not in the sense of like a will to direct yourself, but what you're talking about in sense of choice is variety, right? And variety, you know how people say variety is the spice of life? Variety is the motherfucking drug that's like destroys like our society, right? It's one of the things that we have in our problem in the society is that we're always chasing the new. We're always chasing a new kind of high. And it leaves us feeling discontent with what we already have. But I don't think the secret to that existence, like the secret to finding enjoyment and happiness in that existence lies in it, in finding the right thing as much as finding the thing that is good and like following it.
But you see, when you take the whole, if you take, where there's a lack of choices. Now you see, when you have more choices,
mm-hmm.
you would start going, you know, you start choosing and then you might not like what you were doing already. But then if there's a lack of choices, just like he said, where he walks out with one pair of jeans, and he just had a lack of options, but he just accepted it because it was the only thing that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he then thought, there might be something that's good for me. There might have that. There could be like another pair of jeans that would look better on me. But it wasn't there. Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then he wants more choices. I think there should be a balance in choices. This
yes, we're not encouraging that everyone watch one station.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be any kind of variety of life, but that's not the first, that's not what you said before. What you said before was, if he's doing the thing and he likes it, should he be afraid that like there's something else that he'd like more, that
yeah.
he hasn't done
yet? And I think,
yeah.
I think what you said is like, illustrative, like, we assume that a lack of choice means a bad choice. We assume that since you don't have choice, what you're going to get is shit. And because that's what it is, you know, you have society, people who don't have choice have shit. You know? it sucks.
That's
it,
so
it,
true.
It sucks monkey dick, but like,
yeah.
you know, that is. And we attribute the fact that since we have more choice, you know, choice equals privilege a lot of the times. And so the more choice equals more privilege. And so the whole idea is to be able to try and experience as much as possible because, you know, that is our privilege in a sense.
Mm.
But at the same time, at least the goal, like, generally is, like, you know, enjoy as much as possible in the sense, like, not, you know, however it is you want to enjoy. You want to sit back and, like, you know, read a book, you can sit back and read a book. But if you want to go out and, like, LSD, like, go out in LSD, you know, like, but at the end of the day, the whole point is we need to realize whatever it is we're doing, it's all about how we're appreciating what it is.
Yeah, a lot of it is that, man. A lot of it is like, is this sort of mindful understanding of what you're doing, right? So, for example, in Zen, they have this thing called working Zen, which is like, it's a form of meditation where you do something, and it's usually like menial chores that the monks would have to do around like the temple, the Zen temple. But when you did it, you had to do it in like a full state of like mindful existence. So you'd be sweeping, but you'd be so fully focused on your sweeping that your sweeping became a meditation. And have you seen those like Japanese like rock gardens, like the Zen gardens, where they have the stone in the middle, the sand? And they have these perfect circles, these rings on the sand. Have you seen that shit?
Maybe.
Oh man, you see that? It's like, it's stunning, right?
Mm.
And that's like a thing that they do with the broom, where they move the broom around the thing and they create these like perfect lines and perfect circles. Alright? So they have like, they're so goddamn good at sweeping that they turn sweeping into an art form by fully focusing their mind on sweeping. Right? And they're like, I mean, I love Japanese aesthetics because they have some crazy shit where they make simple shit insanely profound.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They're
on some other level of shit.
They're, oh my god. Do you know the Ensho shit where they have this form of Japanese meditation where the way that you do it is you draw a circle. You come, you take a paintbrush, you draw a circle. And you do it multiple times, usually do it once a day. You have your circle drawing time, it's the time to draw a circle, you do it. You traditionally do it in one stroke, right? You start, you go around, you draw the circle. And the way they believe that the way in which you draw the circle reveals your entire character.
For that day?
No. As you grow in your like Zen and your understanding of Zen and your development, your spiritual growth will be displayed in the way that you draw the circle.
Yeah, but also your daily frustrations.
I think so, but I also think that part of Zen is sort of learning to not be so easily varied. Do you know what I mean? Like you show less variation as you like from day to day.
So your daily pressures won't be shown on that circle.
What I'm saying is that if you're a Zen master, like if you're a Zen student, a Zen master, and you're living that lifestyle, you probably have fewer daily pressures on the day to day, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm sure, like, shit, man, I need to draw this circle better.
I know. The task itself could be the pressure, right? The pressure, right?
Yeah.
And that is actually one of the things, that when you try really hard to draw the circle perfectly, there's a thing that when it happens, full disclosure, I drew a lot of circles trying to figure this shit out. Alright, so when you try really hard to draw the circle, right, what happens is that as you're going around, you tend to pause, and as you pause, the brush strokes become thicker in the spots where you pause, right, it becomes noticeable. You look at the circle later, you notice it. So when you look at that circle, you can tell that this is someone who's making too much effort to control his ability to draw the circle, whereas someone who's confident will move. And if you move it in one brush stroke, it actually comes out much more beautifully. So confidence actually makes the circle better. And self-doubt actually fucks up the circle. And you can visibly see the difference between self-doubt and confidence in the circle.
So what if somebody who's actually a self-doubt guy, but he just wants to show that he's confident, so he takes one stroke?
What is the difference between someone who has self-doubt and confidence? What is the difference?
Say somebody who wants.
What is the difference?
The difference where is the pause.
No, but what is the difference between a man who has self doubt and a man who has self confidence?
Somebody who doubts himself, who doubts his brother.
That's a very bad way to identify your self character.
Right.
So if you have doubts, But you're like, fuck it, I don't want to have, like, I'm going to be like the guy who's confident, and you draw the circle.
Yeah.
Then you, in Zen, they don't believe in the existence of time. They believe time is an illusion. And at that point, they believe that, like, you are constantly changing and becoming a new person. They have this metaphor, they say that spring does not become summer. First there's summer, then there's spring. Right? That's like, that's how they express it in, like, Zen. So in that moment, you were not self-doubting. You were confident. And that is the truth about, like, our existence, is that if you are, if you're acting confidently, but you believe that you're self-doubting, then you're only self-doubting when, because in that moment you believe you're self-doubting and you're creating the self-doubt. Right? Confidence is not, confidence is not a fixed state of being. It is just like a way in which you're approaching that existence. Right? Like, confident people, even when they fuck up, like, they're still confident. Right? That's the crazy thing about it. Right? So, you can't, you shouldn't have such a static idea of self-identity. Right? In Zen, they would say that, like, because it's based on, like, Taoism, and there's the whole idea of water, like, flowing, and water takes many forms, and you are, in that present moment, everything that you are.
Yeah.
And in that moment, if you're confident, then you are confident.
Yeah.
Right?
And the whole practice would be, like, you know, take that confidence and then apply it to yourself.
Exactly, exactly. If you do it that way, and the circle comes out brilliantly, then you look at the circle, and then you think about yourself, and then you should be able to be the circle guy all the time.
Yeah, start doing circles.
Draw the damn circle, man. It's harder than you would think to draw that goddamn circle.
Nah, especially with, like, a Japanese paintbrush on that
rice paper. Yeah.
I said it was hard as shit, man.
Yeah.
It's like every single, like, small mistake you make, it becomes visible.
Yeah, and in the paintbrush, right, if you push too hard on the paper, like, it shows. If you don't touch it hard enough, it shows. It's like, it's a lot harder than you would think to draw that damn circle. And also, if you draw, like, a circle that's too perfect, that's also an issue. Do you have to like, balance that suddenly?
Yeah. Okay.
We try to talk about absolutes, and we have many more things to say about absolutes. And in fact, maybe we will release the second episode as Absolutes Part 2.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
This one became more about, like, choice.
Yeah.
Absolute.
Like Silent Hill and Silent Hills?
Yes.
Right on.
Okay. Alright, that's something, for sure. that exists, I guess, now. Even if you didn't earlier.
But yeah, basically, hopefully we'll be able to get the blog up. And if we do get the blog up, well, hopefully we're trying to figure out maybe a forum. But that's still a while away. But hopefully once we get that...
No. There'll probably be a forum.
Okay.
As in, at that point in time, there might be a forum while you're watching this, right?
Yeah.
This is all in the future, right?
This
right now, we are actually in the past, all right? Right now, it's a fucking trip, all right? We're speaking to you from the past. Yeah, it's incredible. We're like crossing the space-time barrier into your consciousness. Just so you know, all right? So fucking feel special and shit.
All right. And so hopefully you can go on that and you can feed us your ideas on what it exactly it means or what it means to you, or, you know, yeah, just join the discussion. You can add other discussions, interesting points maybe to explore.
And if you like how we discuss it, suggest something.
Suggestions would be good. Feedback would be good. You guys are probably way smarter than us, so like your ideas would be great.
Yeah, really smart.
If you want to bring anything up, man, that would be really cool. And if you guys have great suggestions, we'd love to cover that stuff. If anyone is interested in, like, coming and being a guest, like Akil, if anyone's interested in coming and being a guest, or you know someone else that you could nominate that would make, like, a great guest, like, they're doing something interesting, or they've just got, like, a really crazy perspective on life and shit, that would be cool. And yeah, man, that's all I've got.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, alright, cool. So peace, and yeah, we will talk to you again soon.
Soon. And is it stopping?
Almost. Since you said and we stopped. Yeah.
Please subscribe.